Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. Won't you stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord? After seeking the Lord concerning this service, I went home and I tried to relax and I couldn't. And so I stayed up. And it's such a familiar text that I want to preach from. But I feel like God wants to do something for somebody on this altar. And I'm going to ask something here. It's 11:36. I'm going to ask by the help of the Lord if you'll just give me a little bit past 12. If you can just remain in here and let's let God deal with hearts. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 28. Everyone here knows the setting of these scriptures. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said unto, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. The Bible also says, in a very familiar scripture here, we'll endeavor to preach, the book of Psalms, chapter 72, verse number 2. The Word of God says here, David crying out to the Lord. And he begins to plead with God and he begins to tell God, save me. My foot well nigh slipped. It's a different part there. I'm not going to take time to read every bit of it in different places. But I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, on saved in time. Saved in time. Will you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us, Father? In the wonderful name of Jesus, I come before you this morning. I need your help. Oh, God. Help us, I pray. Send help to us right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. It's a very familiar story to every Bible reader, every child in this building. If you've been in church at any length of time, the story and the life and the times of Peter is not a mystery to you. One man said it's the rising of one wave and the going down of another. That Peter's life often depicts the picture of who we are in ourselves, of what we choose to want to hide and we don't want nobody to see. We want to see a brave man. We want to see a courageous man. But in the midst of all of Peter's life, oftentimes we see a man frightened and afraid. We see a man who's overtaken by troubles and cares. And at times when he reaches out unto God, and then there are times that we see in the life of Peter where he withdraws his hand from the hand of God. It is not the peril of much of our men and much of our ladies in our church today that we are in one aspect reaching out while in the other hand we're pulling back away from God. I want to tell you in this house, if there's ever been a time in your life that you need to hear the gospel and hear the message that Jesus is still able to save and that He's able to heal, He's able to forgive, I want you to know that beyond all the circumstances that ever surrounds the life of Peter or surrounds your life, I want you to notice the passion of Christ. It reaches into Peter's failure. It reaches into the
of Peter's life. And it says to him, regardless of where you're sinking at, and regardless what you're caught up in, there is a saving hand. There is a saving grace. I want you to know, being saved in time, at the present, at the sinking moment, at the dying moment, it's a saving pressure for God to reach in and save drowning men who are caught up in sin and caught up in life. I want you to know that Christ is interested in saving you this morning. Stay here just a minute. There is a picture here that falls out unto us. Peter's life, so late as David, he sometimes walks the heights while other times seeking the lows. Have you ever been there? You going to listen to me this morning? Or are you going to turn a deaf ear to the reaching hand of God? I wonder how long it will take for some men to realize that your feet are getting wet. I want you to know the best opportunity that you have got to get saved is when you can realize my feet's wet. It's not until the drowning that some men realize and see that they are lost. And they are in trouble. I'm telling you, mister, hear me in this house. There is no life that can be given to the man in the bottom of the sea. But it's while in his beginning, if he could just cry out, Lord, save me. How somehow or another reach into my life before I sink. Hear me in this building. I prayed last night. About the Holy Ghost. He said they're not gone completely, but their feet are wet. I want you to know something. You may be in this house and say I'm sinking, but your feet's wet. Cry out while you're able. It is not, is it not the peril of men sitting in church who repeatedly and often set diligent bubbles in their life and they're gasping for air that they realize I'm in trouble. Come on now. I know it's a little tight for you. But you see, Peter got himself in the business of watching storms. He caught himself taking his eyes off the Master, simple as it may be. While eyes were on the Savior, he was able to climb over the side of the boat and stand upon the nothing. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what do you mean nothing? I'm talking about it's water, but it's nothing compared unto what you can stand on when you get out there on water. There's no standing. I want you to know, as long as Peter had said that he saw God, he was able to not only walk on water. If it need be, he could have walked on air. If it was what God wanted, I want you to know you can walk on your trouble to come to Jesus. You say, my mountain's too big. I want you to see the mercy of God. He'll let you walk on top of that mountain to get to where he is. You may be in a storm. You may be in the pressure of it. Hell may be pulling. That's your soul. And the demons and spirits of hell are saying, I'm taking you. But when God says, come, there isn't a power to walk over hell and to walk over the devil and come to Jesus. I can see Peter, while men sat in fear and worry, look how quickly they lost sight of who he was. One writer said it was just a short journey. Come on here. Just from point A to point B. where they were leaving from where they were at and going over to Capernaum. And while they were on their way, he somehow or another described it as being as though in a little bay. I want to tell you something. There's some of you in this building. You're drowning in water that you used to have walked over. There's some of you drowning in things that used to you could have got across it and there have been no trouble. But now I'm going down in it. I'm sinking down in it. How do I get out of it? I'm telling you, it is the end of God. In three words, Lord, save me. I want you to know that the power of the God, of the gospel, the cross, the blood, everything about it, it's wrapped up in three small words. Save me.
There was a time, and I won't get through the chase here. There was a time when you was tender to the pool of the Savior. But long, too long, treading waters, fighting pressures, handling your world, doing what you like, coming when you want to, praying when you like, watching your storm instead of watching Him. Oh, come on now. Reaching into that area of life where you say to yourself, I can make it without anybody. I don't need a church. I don't need a preacher. I don't need a gospel. I've been making it these many years all alone. But can I tell you, when in the chilling hand of death reaches out and grabs a hold of your heart and begins to pull on you, it is somehow or another like a mechanism built in. Only by God, it is built inside a man. He begins to scream, I'm sinking! Lord, save me! I want you to know that He's not interested in dragging you off the bottom, but He will. I said He will, but He'd like to catch you at your beginning. He'd like to get a hold of you at your beginning. Tell saints!
I'm getting past your opinion. He'd like to get you when the internet on your stinking telephone is just a picture. He'd like to catch you before you get so lost out there in that world. He'd like to catch you while you're in the house of God, nigh under the presence of the Lord, and be able to look at you and say, hey, your feet sweat. Your feet is wet. I mean, come on now. I may not be able to preach it just the way I like, but there's something about that word. And He beginning. Oh, come on here. How many of us, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. We wouldn't be facing some of the things that we're facing this morning if we'd have caught it on its beginning, when it first started, when I got my hand in it, when I looked at it my first time.
Chains that are wrapped around men. They don't start. You ain't listening to me. You got a cord up there? Steal one if you got to. It don't start all of a sudden as wrapping a man. Come on out here, Brother Woody. It don't start by just roping it. Get it just right. You can't like that. Slip it down over in simple elementary here. Oh, come on now. It don't start just like that. It doesn't just bind you all of a sudden. You know how it begins? I'll tell you how it begins. It starts a strand at a time. Come on now. I mean, hey, it starts in a little
Bitty tag knot. I can get past this. I can get around it. I'm telling you, you can say what you want to. But there's men and women that are hooked into pornography who started at a picture. If they could have got out of it while their feet was wet. If you could have backed up in what you said while your feet was wet. If you could have reversed it, that'd have been saving grace. The scars and the pain and the shame would not be there. But they're there because you didn't cry at the beginning. I don't know, 20 years pastoring here, there's countless numbers of men and women that I've seen in homes that through 20 years of being here, I've watched them break up. I've watched them fall to pieces. And you know what their cry is? It's not just one. It's out of every last one of them. If I'd have just prayed when it first started. If I'd have cried out when it first happened. But come on now. You may not shout to me this morning, but you should have never sent that text. You said, I didn't say nothing off color. You may not have, but it's that little in the window that sent off the message. And then before you know it, I've got my feet wet. And before I know it, the next text is driving me further under the water. I would to God I could get out of it. That's what it becomes. I wish I could shake away from it. I want you to know there is saving grace. There is reaching power. There is rescuing power. If you're a bad, reach out and cry out to the Lord. Listen to me, my brethren. When men are drowning, they're not interested in our fancy titles and our 1, 2, 3. They're asking, has anybody got a rope? Come on now. Say what you want to. I told my wife, she's sitting right here in this building. Listen to me, my brethren. You are lost and on your way to hell. You hear me? Your secret sin will come out on you. Listen to me. I told my wife the other night, her and I were talking. I said, there is nothing on my cell phone that I have to guard. Come on now. Smile big. Smile big. But they, some of you, you don't want nobody touching it. You know why? It's going to tell how deep the water is on you. It's going to tell exactly where you're standing. Now come on now. Oh, come on here. You say, preacher, I'll just erase it. You may erase it, but you can't swap the chain that's already around you. You can't hide the water line that's already coming up on you. You ain't hearing me, are you? I'm trying my best. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach on saving in time. He wants to save you before you drown. He don't want to rescue you from the bottom of your sin. He wants to rescue you from the beginning. You're hearing it. I feel for you when you don't listen. But I'm going to say, without any reservations, if it's not the greatest peril among us, there is some lives we can't reach. We can't get a hold of. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because simply one reason. It was just a small thing. You didn't think nothing about it. Peter, you didn't think nothing about it. But the longer you was amazed at the storm, you forgot there was a gravity taking place. Come on now. Just a few hours ago, 5,000 were fed. Just a few hours ago, one of the greatest miracles you ever saw in your life took place, Peter, right before your eyes. Oh, you ain't going to help me preach, are you? That's right, sit there looking at me. But it's right after Elijah's greatest blessing of a 63-word prayer calling fire out of heaven. He's locked up in a cave. It's after Noah. He's escaping the flood. And he's laying out on the ground trunk. It's Abraham, after the promise being made, he lies about his wife. Where did we fall at? It was in our beginning. We ignored the promise. We ignored the pleading. We ignored the warning. We ignored the call of the gospel. Listen to me, Daddy. Your boy ain't no more saved than what he sees changed off of you. One man said one time, he said the best security against sin is the fearfulness of the presence of sin. You may not like what I'm about to say, but Peter's saving took place off one word. Don't you hear me? I was praying last night, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, above the water sinking, above all of that, he said, what rescued Peter was that the Bible said, when he saw the storm, the wind, boisterous. Help me. What did he say? And he was. He was what? Why are you scared to say it louder? Does it kill our ego, men, to say, hey, I'm afraid? Come on now. When Saul wasn't afraid, he got rejected. You hear me? It'd do us all good to get a dose of being afraid of sinking. Had not he been afraid, you know what he'd have done? He'd have done what a lot of us do. We'd ignored the water line. And it wasn't until we got right here and we realized, hey, somebody help me. I'm going under. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul. I feel like God spoke to me. He said, I want to catch them where they're at. And they're in the beginning of it. I want to tell somebody, you don't have to drown. You don't have to give up. You don't have to turn around. There is saving grace. There is recovering power in the blood of the Son of God. You said in your heart, it's hopeless. I cannot change. But I tell thee this day, I come to save you. I come to stir you. And I come to call you out. But if you turn from me, saith the Lord, and look in another direction, and follow the rebellion of your heart, I tell thee this day, the waters of adversity shall rise against thee, saith the Lord. Want you to hear me. I wish to God I can get a hold of it like I feel it. But while Saul heard the call, did you hear me? While Saul heard the call from the blessed Master, far above, through the mouth of the prophet, he heard the pleading
I want to choose to make you. I want to make you a man of God. Please listen to me as I hurry. Listen to me. But while Saul was hid amongst us, God was close to Saul. But when Saul felt he could walk out from among the hiding, he became open prey to his own enemy that he forgot to kill in his life. What's killing me, preacher? What's pulling me under? What's dragging my feet down below me? Why is it that the water's rising in my life? Adversity's getting heavier and heavier. My home is standing on the edge of the rocks. Just before going over the edge, how do I save it, preacher? I'm going to tell you, it's as simple as it may be. I love what C.M. Ward said. He said, while men make the gospel so trifle to become understood by men, and they make it as mountains, Christ came walking within. He walked from the heights of the mountains, and he walked into the low place of men's life. He reached in areas where no other man had trod. For while men laid inside of failure and defeat in the caverns of the oppressed, it was none other than Christ who could walk in and save even the best. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that when a man on that boat could have saved Peter in enough time, that there was a walking Christ, there was a living Christ, there was a saving Christ, there was a compassion in Christ who came in the middle of the storm. He came with a remedy to rescue. He came with a power to save. Listen to me. While this was just a little matter, alright. That's all it was. While he slowly began to sink, sin began to wrap around him. You know what the sad part about it is? Watch him. Watch him. He's watching what's taking place. That's what you're doing. You know you're falling to pieces, and you're watching it fall to pieces. But you don't want to say nothing. It's in every hospital room, in any hospital I've ever been in. It's in every hospital room. Call, don't fall. You didn't get that, did you? Call, don't fall. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you want to fall? Why do you want to mess up, Peter? Why do you want to sink? Why do you want the water to rise? I knew right where I'm standing. I'm preaching at Bethel Holiness Tabernacle. And I knew where I'm standing. I love this church. I love you people. But there's some of you, you'd rather die than to admit I'm sinking. And I need help. That word beginning. I told somebody in the office, I may be crazy to you, but I love, outside of reading the Bible, I love sitting down and reading the dictionary. I just like flipping pages, going through it. That word beginning is at first on the on start. As one taking and starting in a race. The beginning of it. But you see, this didn't just happen to him. It was a chain at a time. You ain't hearing me. And what you're in didn't just happen to you. While this mind was watching the storm, this heart was sinking.
While this mind was captivated by the wind, he couldn't see Peter. You're going under. But somehow or another, the blessed gift of fear. I know I'm preaching against time. And I know I'm preaching against the odds. I'm preaching against the odds of the fact that we tell them, folks, don't fear, don't fear. I understand what they're saying. But God's greatest gift in the life of Peter was that he was able to tell the difference between safety and danger. Are you there? Can you tell the difference between safety and danger? Huh? You don't want me to say nothing, do you? Huh? But you ain't in safety. You ain't in safety. Come on now! You ain't in safety when you're lacking a boy. And then when you're all the time just, just reaching out. I remember your daddy, I got the CD. I remember the night, the last night of our camp meeting, he preached on the appetite of iniquity. I remember him getting, it was in the other pulpit. I remember him getting in the pulpit and him preaching that night. And he said, girl, when you allowed that boy to touch you, when you allowed him to bump into you, he awoke something inside of you. I'm telling you, girl, when you allowed that boy to send you a message that set your mind in a trial, you allowed it to wake up something that the blood covered. Jesus Christ has stomped out and got you a purpose. But why am I seeking? I'm seeking because I know I don't want it. And he literally had an embedded gift given by God, and he began to see that storm. And he said he was afraid. Can I talk to you about old Noah here? I know it's on CD. They can give it to everybody. There's all times I pray, and I tell him, God, I'm a scared man. I'm afraid to live without you. There is the healthy fear, and there is the damnable fear. Somehow or another, Peter rocked the boat of his soul when fear cried out and said, you better get somebody to save you. You're going under. Huh? I know I'm going to lose some of you right here. The old timers say it. You can't lay down with the dogs and not get up with the fleas. Young girl, you can't spend your time talking to lost girls, texting lost girls, carrying on conversations with them. Come on now. Oh, we're just friends. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? You know what they hated about the apostles? I'll tell you what they hated about him. After Pentecost, that hard-headed Peter, that man that was willing to sink by watching storms. Come on now! When he got saved and rescued, I'm telling you why God rescued Peter. It wasn't going to be his first rescue, and it wasn't his last rescue. He wanted him to know, when you're about to get in it over your head, Peter, I'm nearby. I'm here to save. I want to tell you, Jeremiah, I have said, if we but call, he will answer. I want to tell you, God ain't far from you. I want you to hear me. What they hated about him was
The man that warmed by the wrong fire. The man that they saw sinking in water. The man who grabbed the fisher's coat and said, I quit. They saw him standing up with lips ablazing with fire and eyes full of passion. And they saw the world as sick and miserable. And they set out on a journey to save it and to heal it and deliver it. When they drug them all in, you know what they said? These men are charged with turning the world upside down. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. You that have troubled homes and troubled children, if you let God save you, it'll turn your home upside down. If you got families that are broken and hearts that are busted, if you allow God to rescue you, it'll turn it all around. Stand with me. You listen to me in closing. I know where I'm at. We're in this heroism. Where'd that boy get his pride from? Huh? Where did your boy get his? Where did your boy get his? Huh? Where did your daughter get that loose tray at, mama? Huh? Is when you made a way for her to satisfy what's inside of her. It's like putting your hand on her shoulder and shoving her down. Are you hearing me? Where did he get it at? We're in that generation where they're sinking and they know it. Watch this. Brady, you need help? You know it? You need help? Is something pulling on you? You need help? You know what lies hell says? You know what it says? It says, you know what? Oh, just befriend them. Be kind to them. Sit around with them. Laugh and talk with them. You don't think I'm mean, ain't you? I greet sinners every day. But I ain't got to sit at their table. I meet them every day. I got some of my family. My heart was broken yesterday. That birthday party. I looked in there and there sat my sister and her two children all alone over in a corner. I kept going over there two or three times just sitting and talking to them. You ain't hearing me, are you? We're in two different worlds. But you know what's bothering me? There was a time when she used to be in my world. She used to live in the world I'm living in right now. Daddy, she used to pray and talk in tongues. The Holy Ghost used to get all over her. But she's in another world. What happened? Her falling over the edge didn't just start. She started playing in ankle-deep water. And then she started walking deeper and deeper and deeper. I feel the Holy Ghost. You may leave me after this. I'm telling you, some of you playing with stuff in your mind. But you're Rockladon in your soul. And the Lord wants to rescue you. Come, honey. Get ready to sing. How long are you going to battle it? How long are you going to stand there, Peter, and point your finger, I know what's bugging me. I know what's eating at me. How long are you going to battle it, sir? How long are you going to keep hiding them text messages from women that you don't want your wife to see? You know I'm right. How long are you going to keep hiding the secret flash-ups? The Bible said our lives are open epistles, read of all men. I'm telling you, you'd be better off going to heaven without a cell phone than you would having letting it take you to hell. You'd be better off. Somebody said, preacher, you get cell phones, don't be crazy. But you'd be better off if I plucked it out and got rid of it. That's what he means by, when I offend thee, pluck it out. And if thy hand offend thee, you can't keep it off. Get rid of it! My God, don't sink! Your family's riding on your riding out the storm! Don't go under. I'm telling you, Peter, I knew when I walked into this building this morning, up late last night, I told somebody this morning that something hardly ever happened to me. I woke up every hour within 2 or 3 minutes of the same time I woke up. I woke up one time at 2:15. I woke up at 3 o'clock. I woke up at 3:18. I woke up at 4:14. I woke up at 5:15. I kept waking up just about within 2 or 3 minutes on the singleness of an hour. And I kept feeling this inside of me saying, Say Peter! Before he sinks, reach him before he goes under! I'm here to tell you in this house, you can't handle the storm! You can't think your way out of it! You better cry out while you're able! Lord, save me! Save me without any pleading or anything going on. Anybody in this house to be honest with me and say, preacher, I feel the hand of God reaching deep in my soul and He's pulling me up out of my drowning water. Come on, Sister King, step out with your sister. Look, Buster. Mama. Come on, church. Don't everybody come yet. I'm talking. I feel the Holy Ghost reaching for somebody. Come on up here, Mama. What are you doing, sir? You're going to wait till the whole house is crashed? Huh? Right here. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to wait till the whole house is crashed. And then you're going to scream out, save me. Rescue me. Find me, God. Been here. I've been in these drowning waters before. Only for hell to pull me back. But I want you to know there's a lifting up. But you don't have to go back. Young girl, you may look good on the outside, but God knows you're sinking on the inside. That's why you're waking up at night and something's eating at you. You say, hey, try it. Just go and grab that phone. I know where I'm at. I know what the Holy Ghost has spoken to my heart. I don't want to come to you. I want you to come to Him. I don't want to come to your pew. I want you to step out and say, Lord, here I am. Save me. You say, preacher, you mean I'm lost? I want to tell you something. I believe Peter was just as saved sinking as he was standing on top of it. I believe God called him just before he walked out on him. Come on now. You say, preacher, I'm in trouble in my soul. I want you to know something. Here it is. In the beginning of it, cry out. If you can step out of that pew, swallow your pride, young boy. Swallow your pride, daddy. And say, hey, I'm tired of living the sinking life. I'm tired of living the empty life. I'm ready to get up and get out of this sinking water. Come quickly. I'm telling you. Come quickly. Find this altar right now, ma'am. Find it in the name of Jesus. The Lord wants to save you in time. What do you mean save in time? You ever heard the old saying? Just in the nick of time, He caught me. He grabbed me. My God. There is a place for men who will not bend. And that's at the bottom of the sea of life. I'm reaching out, sir. I'm reaching out. Is that CD still running? I'm going to say it. And I want this copy to be kept. Because when it happens, you're going to know the Holy Ghost said it. I told my wife, I said, that home is going to break up. And it's already on the rocks. Because you won't cry out, say. Because you won't beg right now. Now for the Holy Ghost in my soul, you're at the beginning of the rocking. You're at the beginning of the shaking. God said, I want to save you at the beginning of it. I don't feel like doing nothing else but right here. 1 minute. And I'm finished. Step out, sir. In the name of Jesus, you've already come contemplated to what your plans are. If you don't come this morning, we may not be able to save Peter. Every hour last night, he wrote in me, save Peter. Save. And I'm not being mean, but the only reason you're delaying is because you're listening more to the devil than you are to God. If you wanted to be saved, I'm going to tell you what you'd do. You'd pull your hair out coming to this altar. Begging God, keep me from the horror that I know not of. Rescue me before I go under. Sing the chorus and we're done. Father, right here on this altar, men's hearts are flooded with tears. Souls are reaching out to you right now. I'm asking God in the midst of the storm of their life and the greatest chaos that they're in. I'm asking you to walk in the middle of their storm. Stick out that saving hand of God. Recite the words that you did that day for Peter. Come. And he came, and immediately he was saved. I'm asking God you to move right now. I'm asking every preacher in this building to help me find somebody in this altar to pray with. I'm asking preacher's wife not to come up here unless there's guilt, but find somebody. Reach down in their heart and pull them up.